Welcome to Digg's Market Muse, our live podcast that provides access, insight, and guidance from top real estate industry professionals on how to best navigate the local real estate market. Find us on Digg's.net, iTunes, Facebook, and Instagram. In this episode, we're here in the Digg's Lounge with Richard Haynes, broker, owner, Manhattan Pacific Realty. I'm Warren Dow, founder and CEO of M3 Media, publisher of Digg's Magazine, and we're also joined here by our team at Digg's. So let's jump right in. Richard, tell us how you got started in real estate.
Warren, hi.
Hi.
thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I'll jump right into it. Got started in real estate straight out of college. Did some loan brokering for a while. Started a small boutique investment company, and then rolled in some of that experience into a brokerage that we opened about 3 years ago, and been doing it for about 10 years now.
Awesome. So what's the hottest zip code in the South Bay right now?
The 90250. And if you haven't heard of it, it's the city of Hawthorne. And for me, at least, that is the hottest zip code in the South Bay. A lot of people think with Digg's, Beach Cities, Palos Verdes, but Hawthorne's within the South Bay. I always look at if the Daily Breeze covers it, you know, then it's a South Bay type city. So Hawthorne has been white hot over the past 12 months. It's kind of lagged some other cities, and with SpaceX gentrifying the area, so to speak, and it being right next door to Inglewood, people have kind of caught on that Hawthorne's been a great investment, not only just for affordable homes, but for 2 to 4 unit residential income properties.
Awesome. So a bit of a surprise, Hawthorne versus, you know, like Beach Seriously. Cities. It's like, what?
You know, and maybe it's a bit of a surprise because the Beach Cities have had such an amazing run and they're still doing great, but it's kind of, hey, the towns outside of the beach now are almost undervalued to the beach. And really, Inglewood took off a few years ago with the announcement of Hollywood Park's redevelopment, and then the Rams coming to town. So Inglewood was all the rage a few years ago, and Hawthorne being right next door, it was funny that that wasn't moving along with Inglewood. And I think it took a couple years of investors and home buyers to catch on, and they finally started to jump into Hawthorne. It's almost like a rotation in the stock market from tech to industrials. It's people are rotating now from Inglewood into Hawthorne, and there's just been some amazing growth there.
And that should continue, right, with the whole new Rams
it stadium? Will I think it will continue, and I think Hawthorne just started last year. I mean, 2 years ago I was wondering why Hawthorne wasn't moving where it was from where it was. I think people finally caught on. I've gone to a lot of my clients going, hey, you got to get into Hawthorne, and you got to be willing to probably set one of the high comps if you're buying an income property. And sure enough, the two or three great deals that have come to market that we've gone after, it's been 5 offers, 10 offers, and they're going way above us. So the trend today is still now, and I believe you got to get in sooner, set that comp now, because 12 months from now, there'll be other people making those comps. So really, Hawthorne's got a lot of great things going for it.
And what about, is Lawndale included in that corridor?
You know, I'm not as bullish on, because it's just that much farther away from Inglewood. There's no transit that really brings Lawndale into the fray. And unfortunately, the city of Lawndale and their building department, hopefully they don't get upset with me, but they're really tough to deal with. They have pre-inspections before you sell property, and it makes real estate transactions difficult. I'm not faulting them for what they do, because they want to protect their city and how certain building codes go, but it's still not there yet for where investors like to play, because there's just a little bit more government oversight there.
Gotcha. Okay. So, and speaking of investors, so for those of us that are investment minded, tell us where you would find the best real estate ROI right now.
So South Bay, I love Hawthorne, but when you kind of go to greater Los Angeles, and LA is a great big world out there, I look at anywhere around light rails. And more specifically, you have the West Adams area, which is all around the Expo Light Rail, which went live a couple years ago, and that area has just exploded in value. It's changing an entire demographic because of the light rail, commercial investments going in, business investments going in. We bought property there before the Expo line went live, and the property value is up 100% almost. Wow. And rents are up 50%. Thankfully, we built brand new, so we're not subject to rent control in LA, but West Adams is the place to be, and really anywhere along that Expo light rail, which goes into Jefferson, and then when you go down the coming LAX Crenshaw light rail, which isn't live yet, you've got areas like Leimert Park, and just as you head into Inglewood, all those areas are ripe for the picking. In my opinion, that will go up. And some of the reasons why are just purely light rail, and then why I like LA so much is it's just dense.
Yeah.
It's dense, and their zoning is dense. So you buy a three-unit in Hawthorne, it's probably the highest and best building you'll ever get on there, whereas if you buy a three-unit in LA on a bigger lot with R3 zoning or R4 zoning, you might be able to plop down a 20-unit apartment building down there down the road because the light rails allow for more density once they go live. So I love those areas. Just think West Adams, Leimert Park, and light rail adjacent properties with density is really going to give you not only a good cash flow today, but some really big returns in the long term with the density bonuses that you're going to get around there. So
that's good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So I've actually never heard of this new state regulation that might allow you to increase your rental income by 20%. Tell us about that.
So I'm sure income property investors are kind of sitting at the edge of their seats. This is more for our single family homeowners. So Jerry Brown and the state legislature passed, I don't know what assembly bill, AB some number, and it's about accessory dwelling units, or ADUs for short, or a lot of people know them as granny flats or in-law units. So since there is a housing crisis here in California, they want to make it easier on people to add more units, not only to make housing more affordable for existing homeowners, but getting units into areas that normally don't have apartments and make more affordable housing for everyone. So this new law allows for everyone here to go put in a new accessory dwelling unit. I mean, we can get into those details. Maybe I won't bore you with that now, but it's been all the rage in LA. I want to say, I don't know what graphics we have, but my architect, Joe Spear at Joe Spear Architects, sent over some info. I think it's been double the amount of in-law units added in 2 years compared to the entire history of LA. Here in the South Bay, there's a lot of great places, which we can get into later, of where I think there's opportunities for people to add ADUs and increase some rental income.
So are ADUs just for multifamily or units, or?
It's really for owner occupied. So a lot of cities are going, if you live in a single family home or if you live in a duplex that can support more units, they'll let you build another unit without adding extra utilities or extra parking and all the cumbersome things that make it hard to add a unit. So we're looking at areas that have never had ADUs before, yeah. Like Palos Verdes Estates, you could have it. The city is wild. Probably going to make it really, really hard on you, but the state law requires that no city can reject this new assembly bill. They can make some nuanced changes, but it takes one very brave person to go up into, you know, Palos Verdes Estates and say, hey, I'm going to add an ADU. And really, you know, a lot of the South Bay cities haven't really done it yet, but yeah, it's a possibility for a lot of people around here.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's
cool. Does that come with some cons, like increased parking or any other cons?
You know, I think it could have some issues with increased parking, sure, but it's still expensive to build a new ADU. Also, I think these cities in the state are being really smart about adding this because automated cars are a reality in the next 10, probably more like 15 years. So they go, well, let's at least add these ADUs. will get squeezed maybe in the next 5, 7, 10 years, but automated cars and new transportation like the light rail is probably going to come in and save the day, and parking lots won't even exist in 2035. So
we're going to hold you to that.
I'll see you in 2035 then.
So cool. That's insightful stuff. So tell us something we don't know about Richard. Maybe we do a little quick lightning round or something, and we fire you some questions and throw you a curveball or two.
Okay. Well, you know, I'll maybe keep it real estate focused first, and then you guys can go from wherever from there. I was born and raised in Palos Verdes from a young kid all the way through high school. Went to school downtown, USC, and then moved back to the beach cities and have been between Hermosa and Manhattan Beach. So pretty much a South Bay human, born and bred between the beach cities and PV. And I'm 33 years old and, you know the South Bay like the back of my hand. So that's me in a nutshell from where I come from. Things you don't know about me: developed some properties around here, invested in some low-income housing, used to do loans. Have a brokerage here selling real estate with 18 other agents, and that's me in a nutshell. And engaged to my beautiful fiance, Nicole. All
right. Shout out to Nicole.
Yes.
Very cool.
Thank
so
you.
Used to do loans. That gives you a nice little, you know, sort of advantage, insight into the other side of the real estate transaction, yeah?
Absolutely, because I think one of the most difficult things to figure out is what do I qualify for, and at least I can run some rough numbers in my head. I rarely advise clients on loans anymore just because Dodd-Frank has changed the game so much with that new legislation. But when you understand LTV, FICO score, and DTIs, you know, those are really the three main items that drive a qualification for someone. It helps me when I'm buying property for myself, or at least advising people on what they need to do to fit in a lender's box.
Cool. Let me ask you another question. Just with pricing, you know, the way it's been in the South Bay, up and away, right? You're looking at a millennial home buyer. What are their options like in the South Bay? Like, with pricing and, you know,
pray. if you're a millennial, and unfortunately they're in a tough spot. Millennials have had a tough time. You know, they were all the older generation was graduating right into the financial crisis, and here we are. Prices have gone crazy. Millennials are just starting to get into home buying age, and the lower 25% quartile in the South Bay and pretty much throughout everywhere is low inventory. Interest rates are ticking up, although interest rates aren't so bad when you talk to baby boomers and them buying during inflation days. But it's a really hard environment. At the end of the day, you just gotta really save your money, and you gotta go out and make more money. And if you can't afford to live here in the South Bay, what's wrong with living outside of the South Bay for some time being? And there's certainly nothing wrong renting. In LA, sometimes it makes more financial sense to rent than it does to own a home. So millennials really shouldn't be getting hung up on owning a home or not. They should they should be focused on saving, getting a good rental agreement, and maybe even buying income property before they even consider buying a home.
And living in one of the units, like a duplex, triplex.
You nailed it, Warren. I try and convince every client to do that first and foremost. Very few take that advice because there's just something about having your own home. But if millennials have to go to income units, there's plenty of income units if they're willing to be a savvy real estate person.
Yeah. Because the rents count towards your
it
income,
goes
right?
to your income, and that helps
you
your DTI.
More,
yeah. And exactly. You're buying now rather than a $800,000 home. You're buying a $1.2 million duplex, and Fannie Mae increases its loan limits with you. So if you're buying more, your appreciation down the road helps. Your monthly nuts probably less because your renter's paying that down, and then you're now amortizing or paying down an even bigger loan, and sometimes the tax benefits are even better. So I highly advise any young person this day and age to buy units if they possibly can.
Good advice. Yeah, cool. All right, so what do you do? Let's get off real estate for a minute.
Sure.
What do you like to do for fun?
Fun, you know, right now I'm living in Hermosa Beach, right by Pier Avenue. I love going out with my fiance, hitting the pier, getting a great meal. There's tons of great restaurants here in the South Bay. Summertime, go out, to the volleyball courts, hang out with a bunch of friends, mess around, watch the sunset. And then me being an SC guy, hitting the SC football games in the fall.
The Trojans, you know? Yeah.
So,
you have high hopes.
Yes, very high hopes for next year. No Sam Darnold, though.
No Sam Darnold, yeah.
So how crazy. So I moved here when I was out of college in 1990, and you've been here, you're born and raised. So it's like, how crazy is it? Just speaking of food, for instance, just like how crazy the changes here in the South Bay. It was like,
yes.
Now we're almost a food destination of sorts.
We are. The beach cities are. Manhattan, yeah. Beach, Hermosa, Palos Verdes is still really got nothing. You know, the old school, the Red Onion's the only place that's held on and up in PV. But yeah, I mean, the food scene in Manhattan Beach and really Hermosa's has some great restaurants going into, and it's completely changed the game. It's attracting West LA,
which comes back to buyers. Real estate, it right?
It's huge.
The lifestyle.
I mean, really, mm-hmm. What's driven a lot of Manhattan Beach is it's people coming from West LA, and the amount of people that are looking to buy a vacation home now, or go, I'm from New York, I've heard about Manhattan Beach, I'm sick of the cold, I want to move to LA, and now they're choosing Manhattan Beach over Beverly Hills. Yeah. So it really is. It's a game changer with the food scene. Absolutely. Yeah, cool.
Awesome. So we can wrap up. Any lasting tips, advice, market knowledge you want to give to the audience?
You know, my best advice to most people, and a lot of it's buyers, because if you're a seller, you know, the only sin you can make as a seller is overpricing. You know, my advice is you got to list it for what it's worth or slightly less, and you're going to sell like that for what it's worth or even more. So just don't overlist if you're a seller. Really, the advice goes out to buyers. It's a tough market out there. It's just be patient. If you have a short timeline or you're like, I've got to own a home because the market's going up. No, you don't. Be patient. Wait for the right deal. Really analyze it. If interest rates go up a quarter of a point or half a point, it's not that big of a deal. Be patient. Pick your spots and make sure you're purchasing something that really works for you at a good price.
Very cool.
Awesome.
Question.
Oh, all right.
Do you buy or rent? Do you own your own home?
So I'm going to repeat the question from Kelly here. It says, do you buy, do I buy or rent, and do I own my own home? And no, I try and walk the walk of what I preach to my clients. So I do not own my own home because I live in Sand Section, Hermosa Beach. My rent is significantly discounted to me owning the home across the street from me. So I like the lifestyle and location of rent that I have. And instead, I buy income property. So I own a duplex, a triplex, and I'm actually really bullish on daycares with both millennials working. So I'm building my first commercial daycare project. So I own income property and choose to rent. You know, sometime down the road I'll own a home, but right now I'm black and white. It doesn't pencil to own your own home. Have your tenants pay your mortgage and let your real estate growth go from there.
Yeah.
Another question. Millennials, where should millennials look in the South Bay?
Where should millennials look in the South Bay?
If it's possible and they're not praying.
If they're not praying.
Actually, while they're praying.
Praying. Look, everywhere in the South Bay is probably a good buy long-term. First and foremost, you got to be long-term and make sure you can afford it, because you want to be able to not care if your house goes up and down. But specifically, you know, if you're talking beach cities and PV, I would say North Redondo. And North Redondo has been on a rampage, but it's because it's the most affordable part of the beach cities. The schools are solid, and you can still find condos and townhomes under $1 million. And to me, under $1 million in 5 years, 10 years, whatever, it will be non-existent. So if you can pick off a two-bedroom condo or townhome for $750,800, you're going to be a winner all day long. And really, if you had to move out, you're going to be close to breaking even renting it. I don't advise renting single family units, but you really could rent that if you ever had to move. And North Redondo, I think, is the best spot for millennials for growth if they're cool. Invested for the long term.
You know what's a cool spot, too, is that, if you know that Walteria area, 90505?
Love Walteria.
Yeah, that's like a little
Tucker's hidden... Liquor Store. Great sandwiches there. Turkey, hidden... avocado, and squaw.
There you go.
Yes, Walteria is an amazing place. Walteria Elementary School.
Yeah.
Great elementary. My fiance went there till about third grade before her family moved up to the hills. So, yes, Walteria, amazing part of Torrance, Seaside, you know, South Torrance, all great places. I'm just giving one example. The South Bay has so many amazing pockets. Do millennials have a chance to move into the hill?
Rolling Hills, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Behind the gates, no problem. Minimum price,
2-3 million.
Do you get a lot of millennials looking into the hill?
Actually, a ton of my business right now is millennials moving to the hill, and it's a lot of millennials who got in early to, say, Redondo Beach, who now need more space. They've had an amazing run with their current property, and they've moved up. So yes, you can get in. There's still, if you want Palos Verdes Estates, which tends to be more pricey, the low-hanging fruit for millennials is Lanada Bay and Del Monte, although it is tough now. But if you go Rancho Palos Verdes 90275, you can still find deals in the low 1 millions. And honestly, there's condos that get sold in Lanada Bay and in Malaga Cove for under $1 million. And then Rolling Hills Estates is still an amazing spot with some great places that offer a ton of bang for your buck. So if you can afford $1 million to $1.2 million, which sounds crazy, you can pick up a home on the hill in a lot of those cities. And like I said, condos are available too, which are not a terrible option on the hill at all.
I got a question. So
you were talking about condos and millennial buyers. What do you kind of suggest for that inexperienced millennial buyer who doesn't think they can go into that investment property first time out? What would you say to that person, or how would you kind of broach that subject to kind of get them leaning in that direction with some confidence?
So just to clarify, saying that they want to buy income property or getting them to want to buy income property?
The latter.
So, you know, really for me, a lot of people look at real estate agents as kind of sleazy salespeople just trying to get a deal done. I don't sell. I'm just a purveyor of data. So what I do is I go, here's your condo and what it'll cost. Here's your triplex and what it'll cost. Let's run the numbers and see what your monthly nut is. And if the triplex is less than a monthly nut, I go, it's the numbers. And some people just go, inherently, I want a home or I want a condo and I don't care. So I let the numbers speak. And if the client chooses the not as good numbers, that's their prerogative. So I just let the numbers speak. And I would say a good portion of the people look at the numbers and they go, wow, that's compelling. And they go and chase those income properties. So it's really just sharing data and running the numbers.
Love that. It's great.
Kelly.
Got one.
All right. Look at these questions rolling
in. Fast and furious.
All right.
Where's your favorite spot on the hill?
Favorite spot on the hill. You know, for me, and I'm biased because I grew up there, it's Del Monte. I mean, it's super charming. It's not the most expensive part of the hill, although it is going up in price, and it's super, super easy to commute to the beach cities. You know, you've got most people who don't know PV, when you roll in from Palos Verdes Boulevard, everyone knows the flags in Malaga Cove Plaza. It's you peel off left, and Del Monte is just much more affordable than Malaga Cove. You can shoot right on down into Walteria and pick up your Tucker sandwich and go to Del Amo, or you can shoot into Hollywood Riviera and get a great bite to eat, and you're, you know, a 15-minute Uber to Hermosa Beach restaurants and Manhattan Beach. So Del Monte, personally, I think it's got it all for everyone, and I think the secret's out of the bag because it's been rolling for the last few years here.
Good stuff.
Most important question. From Max Fitzgerald.
Max Fitzgerald, one of our agents at Manhattan Pacific.
Who has the best hair in the South Bay?
That was my question. That was, how do you get those locks?
You know what?
Those locks.
I have no. I don't know if that's reference to the mullet I'm sporting right now, but I'm due for a haircut. So you know, I'll leave that to you guys. But there's a lot of good hairdos out there in the South Bay.
Okay. All right, I think we're We got any more questions? All right. Awesome, Richard. So thanks so much for joining us on Diggs Market Muse. Awesome time. Thanks for your advice. Good, really good stuff. So again, find us on Diggs.net, iTunes, Facebook, and Instagram. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys soon. Thank you. And we're out.